Welcome back to the Sober Vibes Podcast. I'm your host and sober coach, Courtney Anderson. You are listening to episode 279, Good People of the World. So have you ever had one of those days where everything seemed fine? You woke up and it was fine until it really wasn't, right? So maybe you got a shitty email from your boss, right? Maybe your kid or kids are already acting like spawns of Satan by 9 a.m. And then your nervous system is like, good golly, Miss Molly, what is happening here? That is currently in the phase that I'm at with the dictator. Parents, this 4.5 business. I have never in my life seen such big little feelings. Anyways, or in your day two, you get really shitty news that you weren't expecting. Or maybe all of a sudden you and your spouse have a fight because your perimenopause rage is just so over the top. And there's nothing he's going to do that is going to be correct today. You just need to not talk to each other, right? So when that all happens, maybe suddenly your brain goes to the I need to drink thought, right? This is normal. And it's not because you planned on drinking. It's not. You could be a couple weeks in, maybe a couple months in. And it's not because you woke up wanting alcohol, but because of how stress showed up and how your brain immediately reaches for the fastest solution. And for many, many years, the fastest solution for you was to drink, to cope. Okay. I've said this in repeated number of podcast episodes. Just because you have a couple months sober does not mean that you're quote unquote cured from ever thinking like this. This is a couple years process. That's why I state that those first 5 years are early years of sobriety. Does it get easier? Yes, absolutely. But will you always go back to that default mode of thinking when times of stress happen? Absolutely. Again, it doesn't mean that there's like anything wrong with you. It's just what you did for so many years. So it's embedded and really like ingrained into your whole psyche. So that's really what we are talking about on today's episode. Okay. I don't think that your alcohol is actually, I don't think alcohol for people is the biggest trigger. I really do think that stress spikes are, right? And nervous system, your nervous system response and how it gets overwhelmed and it starts searching for relief, right? The good news is about this, you can prepare for those moments even before they happened, right? And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So grab yourself a cool beverage, NA of course, and let's get ready to cover this topic. And it's really what stress spikes actually look like and how to create a 10-minute emergency plan to this, right? And also simple boundary scripts that help protect your peace before things spiral, because sometimes you can catch yourself before you go into a full-blown meltdown. All right. So before we get into it today, as always, if you need help in your sobriety journey, there are three ways to work with me as your sober coach. And that is you can do it solo dolo. If you are that lone girly who likes to just go at your own pace, I totally understand that. You can look at my Stop Starting Over program. That's really getting off of the cycle of moderation. Second, you can join the sobriety community. If you are looking for more connection and support, there's monthly meetings in there, tons of resources, recorded workshops from like the past 2 years. Or if you are a person who likes to go deeper and likes the one-on-one support and accountability, I have my one-on-one coaching. All the links are in the show notes below, so check it out. And also too, if you haven't gotten your free 30-day sober not boring guide, check it in the show notes below. Or you can go to CourtneyRecovered.com. All right, so getting into it. What does a stress spike look like? I'm sure you probably know yours, correct? But most people think that cravings start in their thoughts, but this is not the case. Often they start in the body first, truly. And I kind of want you to feel that of like, where does it happen in my body first, right? So common stress spike signs are like this: tight chest, right? The racing thoughts, some people have sensitive tummies, irritability, right? Jaw clenching, or like when your shoulders go up where they're like in your ears, mine does that. Feeling very overwhelmed, inability to focus, restlessness, and the urge to escape. And guess what I just mentioned to you too on a couple of these? This is also like trauma responses when you go into fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. There's the four, okay? I'm currently trying to get myself out of a freeze one. And that is just from the passing of my dad. And I will do another episode for that. But like, there are ways you can get out of this. But some of this that I just said, it's just naturally of that type of trauma response, that stress response in your body. Okay. Especially that urge to escape if you are a fleer. So your nervous system is really sounding an alarm when this is happening to you. And alcohol used to be your fastest way to turn that alarm down, right? To just make the thoughts go away. So I want you to start asking yourself the thoughts and the feelings go away. So I want you to ask yourself this too. What does stress feel like in my body, right? Seriously, think about it, because this goes into your awareness of getting to know yourself a lot better. And there is no other journey in the world that you get to know yourself better. And then in the process of quitting drinking alcohol and in sobriety, you will get to know yourself so well that you have no other choice but to listen. So go back to this. And what does stress feel like in my body, right? So the earlier you recognize the signs, the easier it becomes to interrupt the pattern. And that's what you want to do, is like, how am I going to interrupt this pattern before I start spiraling? And that is with your 10-minute emergency plan, okay? I want you to put yourself together after I go through this with you, but I want you to put one together for yourself so you have this plan in place to help you through this, right? So most cravings pass if you can create space between the feeling and the action, right? So just know that just because you doesn't have that feeling, you don't have to act on it. So you're going to create this emergency plan. What you're going to do in this plan is you're going to fucking pause. That's right. I said it. You're going to fucking pause. Just pause. Just pause. Okay. Then I want you to breathe. And then I need you to name what you're feeling. So what are you feeling? And where is this coming from? Like, are you stressed? Is it the overwhelm? Are you sad? Are you madder than hornets? What is coming up? Are you frustrated? Are you overstimulation can also too kind of go into the overwhelm, but are you overstimulated, right? So you really have to name the feeling of what you're feeling. And then I want you to choose this. You can drink some water. You can go outside, take some deep breaths. Use this too if you are out in a social setting where you are stressed before you're going, but you have to attend something, and use this. And like the going outside, or if you're at your mother's house and she's triggering you, where you can just go outside and breathe some fresh air. Okay. Go outside, breathe it in, take a couple minutes for yourself, dial it down, right? And then go back inside, because that shift and that change in energy, I guarantee, will help you, right? Or even two, if you need to walk around the block and move your body a couple times, all right? I then either want you to, there's an option of calling or texting somebody who knows that where you are at in your journey, right? You can listen to a sober podcast. You can journal. You can take a shower, take a bath, right? So this is all this emergency plan. And the goal isn't to fix your life in 10 minutes, right? The goal is just to survive the stress spike without drinking. So that's what you need to understand. This isn't like, oh man, I'm going to do this and everything's going to be great for months and months. This is when one of those stress spikes happen, what are you going to do for yourself in like a 10-minute little plan that's going to help you? I'm going to add this one on to this. Depending to when that stress spike comes, when you need to handle your scandal in that moment, I'm going to add, put your ass to bed if needed. I'm serious. Put your ass to bed. Depending on what your life looks like, right? Like some people do have that luxury where they're like, good night. Or even if it's just putting your ass to bed and just watching some shitty shows or reading some glorious smut or a thriller, whatever the choice is for you. But like, just put yourself into bed, because I have found, and I had to do this for myself early on in sobriety and still throughout all of these years. Like sometimes you just have a shitty day where you cannot shake it and you're like, there's tomorrow. There's tomorrow. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to exit stage left into where I rejuvenate and call it a day. There's nothing wrong with that. Nowadays, it's like too much optimizing of every hour of every day and people just being like, oh, life's great every day. And it's not the case. It's not realistic. Like, there's no shame in the game if you are just off one day and you're like, I cannot bounce back from this. But that also, too, doesn't mean that anything's going wrong in your sobriety. It's just life. It's just how you're handling this stress spike. So, and I've told people this for a very long time, like, when in doubt, put your ass to bed, go to bed. Watch a movie, whatever you do in your bed, just do it. And then, because a lot of people, when they're in their bed, right, when you're washed up for the night, when you got your jam jams on, whatever you sleep in, you're less likely to get out and start doing what you would self-destruct and sabotage. It's true. Even after those kids go to bed, you, depending on how old your kids are, you go to bed too. Yeah, if you have kids old enough to put themselves to bed, mom is going to lay down. Dad's going to lay down. Like, I'm out. Tell your spouse, leave me alone. Let's not talk. There's no shame in that. Ask what you need, okay? Ask for what you need for, right? Because that will be that will help you. And especially in sobriety too, you have to start learning to use your voice. So you don't need a perfect solution. You just need this safe kind of bridge through that moment, right? And that's where that plan comes into place to help you with the spike of the stress before you start acting, right? So also, too, here's for some scripting for boundaries, right? A lot of women are carrying more stress than they realize. And honestly, I just think that really, because we're women. Yeah, sorry, dudes. Like, it's just, women and men are so different. And especially, too, I've learned this once I became a mom. There is shit that you never thought you were asking for until you became a mom. And it's like wild where I was like, oh my God, like I did not know until I became a mom that this is what's on your shoulders. Not saying that a mom or not a mom are one's better than the other. That's not what I'm saying. It's just everybody's responsibility does look different. However, in our womanhood journey, women are natural born caretakers. We are. So, and even too, you might not have kids, but you might be taking care of your dying parents right now, or you've always been a natural caretaker. So it's just different on how responsibility lies on women and what women carry of that stress, right? So just know that you're probably carrying a little bit more stress than you're willing to admit. And because a lot of women are people pleasers, you're saying yes to everything and overextending yourself, whether that's getting to the top of your career, right? Overextending yourself where you're booking all these little demon children. I say that with love. You guys know I'm kidding. I love my child with every ounce of me. It's just the stage we're in. But like these little children, these little guys are overextending your nervous system. Oh, Matt and I the other day, we're like looked at each other. We're like, we had no clue. But you're overextending yourself. Like there's only so much that you can take on. And then you're overextending yourself so that they have X, Y, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? But you and the core of it, you're like sitting there looking like that gross guy from Lord of the Rings, the little alien guy. God, what was his name? That's how I felt that first year of sobriety. Inside, how that thing looked, that's how I felt inside of my first year of sobriety. You know who I'm talking about. The guy who like tries to take the ring in Lord of the Rings. Someone please DM me and let me know the name of that creature. So you feel like that. You feel how that thing looks because you are just overextending yourself and not holding any boundaries. And boundaries is a hard one to start implementing. But if you are implementing that you are not drinking today and holding firm on that boundary, you can start adding more boundaries to your boundary list, right? So to help you out with this, you can start kind of like, here's some boundary scripts you can commit to, okay? Where you say, I can't commit to that right now. You don't need to send people explanations, right? Let me get back to you to see when the time is right. That doesn't work for me, right? I need some time to think about it. Or don't even respond to a person's text message, right? I don't have the bandwidth for that this week. Can we talk maybe next week about it or set up something next week? And boundaries really are relapse prevention. Seriously. Because when you overextend yourself and overextend your boundary, you will feel yourself starting to shut down. And boundaries really can reduce stress before it becomes a craving. True, true, true story. So protecting your inner peace is part of protecting your sobriety. You have to protect your sobriety at all cost, okay? And just know that it's just going to further help you in the long run. I'm in that phase right now where I have to go back to protecting my boundaries of what I can and cannot do for people, even if it just means like hanging out. It's like, no, that's not good for me this week. Let's shoot for next week. And it's something that I no longer feel bad about for saying this, even to my husband too, because it helps me and it protects my mental health. And that's what you need to be looking into of protecting what you can. And again, not still overextending yourself and people pleasing just because that's what you've been doing and that's what you think people expect from you. Because when you're in there in the path of sobriety, you are now building a whole new life for yourself and a whole new version of who you are at this stage of the game, right? So the next time that stress spike hits, remember you don't need a drink. You just need to put a plan into place and prepare yourself for those moments. So that's why creating that kind of like 10-minute plan for yourself is huge, especially too. It becomes easier with that in your back pocket in your sobriety. So remember to protect your nervous system at all cost, at least 90% of the time. I know you only can control what you can control, but there is some stuff that you can help yourself out with along the way. And this is one of them. All right, good people of the world. I hope this episode helped you today. As always, keep on trucking. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. If you send me a screenshot of your review on Apple, email it to me and I will send you my workshop for free. All right, as always, like I said, keep on trucking.